13, verses 3 through 10. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day that you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today in the month of Abib you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread without yeast. On the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days, nothing with yeast in it to be seen among you, nor any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I come out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehand that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time after that year.
Good morning. You know, there are times where we get reminded that our time together isn't just the official, what time do we start? 10:30. Is that right? Official 10:30 start and finishing whenever y'all get tired of hearing me talk and you walk out the door. Or no, 10:30, 11:30 about. That really our time together begins when we walk in, and our time together ends when the last one leaves and locks the door. And there are so many things that are important in the time where we're not just sitting here. And today's one of those days where we get to see that, because today is a day where we will take time to love on Bob and Marla, hug their neck, and pray for them during this time of change, and appreciate them for their time here. So let's pray together, please. Father, we are so very grateful that you knew that we needed each other, that you knew that we might be tempted to think we can do this all by ourselves. But the truth is, Father, you knew that we needed our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need to see each other, to be able to speak to each other, to hear each other, to have this time together. And Father, you know all that lies ahead, and you know all that is today. And we ask for your comfort and your strength and your guidance in all things. We ask, Father, that you will bless Bob and Marla, that you will open up doors of opportunity, that you will make sure they know they are loved. Father, we ask that you will bless your people here, that you will help us to always do and seek what you want, to honor and glorify you, to build faith in each other, to encourage each other, and to remind each other that one day we'll be all together before your throne. Father, we're so very grateful for the hope that we have in your Son, the joy we have today in him. So today, Father, help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do, and help us to keep our hearts focused on you in everything. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. I have found as I get older that the examples I provide show my age. So when I make a reference to Bob Newhart, I am trying to think, what age am I missing? Below what age? Already Olivia looks at me like, what? Who in the world's Bob Newhart? See, right there, I'm already losing 20-year-olds. Well, you know, you're not 20. You're, what are you now? Old. That means the rest of us are ancient. But, you know, here's the blessing that we have today. Even if you don't know who Bob Newhart is, you can go on YouTube and find out who Bob Newhart is. And he played on television, in one show at least, a counselor to be able to help people. And there was a skit that was done on a comedy show where he was playing that role of being a counselor. And a lady comes in and begins to say, well, I was referred to you, you know, that you could help, that you could make difference. And says, okay, go ahead and sit down. She starts describing the struggle that she has, that her fear is being buried alive in a box. And he's like, have you ever been buried alive in your box? No. But it means she's afraid. Anytime she goes inside something, inside a tunnel, inside a house, inside anywhere where it feels like a box. And it scares her. It's hard for her to live. Can you imagine having that fear all the time? And he says, okay, I have a way to help you get over this. It's two words. He says, you ought to write them down. He goes, most people can remember them. I say, are you ready? This will help you change how you live your lives. She gets all set. And he says, stop it! That's yours, Sheila. So, and she kind of is in shock. She says, what? Stop it! Don't think that anymore. Stop it! And this goes on for a while. Now, isn't that a wonderful fix for all of our problems? Y'all have that all come together? You have anything you've been trying to stop? Anything that you need to change? Stop it. Yeah. Don't you wish it was that easy? That's not that easy, is it? Most of us don't change that easily. And so when we get into Exodus, here we get into the plagues. And you know, the plagues belong to the kids, don't they? Because you get all kinds of neat coloring pages. You get a color of the Nile red. Gnats are a little bit harder to color, but you get to kind of draw them, and you know, frogs and all kinds of things. Now, in all of that, as we open up what's going on there within in Exodus, there is a theme that comes over. Moses has his own theme. Because Moses, what is it that we hear most out of his lips? At least at the beginning. Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do this. And he says, and again, we get to chapter 6. And you think he would have been past this. He's seen all kinds of amazing things. And what does he still do? God comes, he's there, and he's telling God, Lord, you're telling me go talk to Pharaoh. But let me tell you what. I speak with faltering lips. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? Now, in that phrase, we have to keep in mind what he's saying. He is saying that I can't get Pharaoh to listen. I can't get Pharaoh to change. I'm not able to do that, Lord. Why are you sending me? But there's also the assumption in that if only I could have the right words to say, it would happen. If only I could have everything come together just right, he would change. If only everything would come together and the right things would happen, we would walk out of here without any problems. But Lord, I'm not the one to be able to do that because I can't. I'm not able to talk. And y'all, have y'all ever had that go on with you? You know there's something that needs to change, somebody that needs to change, yourself that needs to change, and you go, well, if only I could have the right things come together. And then, my heart would be changed, my life would be changed, everything would come together just right. If somebody could say the right things. If all the circumstances could come together just right. If all the right people would come in my life, then everything would be just right and everything would be good. I could find the right words if I could find everything. Now, the thing about this is the challenge in all of this is how do you change a hard heart? Now, we know that with Pharaoh, but how many people in this world and all through history that's really been the problem? a hard heart, a heart that can't feel anymore for others, a heart that can't feel and hear what God has to say. A heart that can't anymore respond to what God has to say. And so there's so much that needs to happen in these chapters because God has said, let my people go. And we know for that to happen means Pharaoh needs to change. The Egyptians need to change. But we know also as we go along, I've got a green light, but I keep dying, don't I? Well, I don't keep dying. The microphone keeps dying. But we know that when all of this changed, also that it's not just Egypt and Pharaoh that needs to have a change of mind so that they'll let Israel go. But we also know Israel needs to change, don't they? Because they've got a frame of mind that to them, there is no way this can happen. There's no way we can do anything about this. There's no way we are able to ever leave Egypt to get out of here. And then if we get out of here, there's no way we can ever do what needs to be done. We can't. And so over and over again, we get to hear all that thing. And that's the thing about all of us, because in our own lives, how many of us look at what needs to happen in our own lives, that needs to happen in our own hearts, and needs to happen all around to the people around us, and we look at that and say, there is no way. You know how long I have had some habits in my life? And I look at those going, oh, if I could stop that. And we act like we're just helpless. Now, even if Bob Newhart's advice doesn't help right away, God can help us to get where we need to be. Now, you have to realize, what is it that causes people not to hear, not to listen? Why did Pharaoh, why was he not willing to hear what Moses, what Aaron said through Moses, and then Moses said later on, and what God was telling him all along. Why couldn't he listen to what God has in mind? What was going on in him? Because it wasn't a matter of, it was just, easy breezy. I mean, if anybody walked in here today and threw down a staff and it turned into a snake, would that really get y'all's attention? Somebody came in and they brought in all kinds of things going on. They made their hand leprous. Got your attention. I mean, there's so many things that go on in these chapters that you think, well, surely I would pay attention. But the truth is, I'm more like Pharaoh than what I might be willing to acknowledge. If there are things that go on in life where I might go, that would wake me up. But the truth is, it wouldn't be. Now, the part of that problem is, for Pharaoh, we know it's good to be king, isn't it? When you're used to being king and whatever you says goes, why do you need to pay attention to anybody else? So on and on, what do we get? We have Pharaoh summoning the wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts, tossing down the snake, turning the water to blood, and said, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and he would not listen to them. He wouldn't listen to them. And part of that is he knew, I've got people who can do that. He's got some pride going on. He knows who he is. He knows what can happen in this world. Verse 23 of chapter 7, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. Now you think about that. He sees things going on and he goes, and he walks on. What's going on inside of him that nothing gets his attention? Nothing wakes him up. Nothing happens. And I think a lot of that is where we get into his problem of pride and being king. And he keeps doing this. Verse 15 of chapter 8, after he says, okay, y'all can go, he gets relief. He hardens his heart. Again, he won't listen. And then whenever the magicians say, we can't do this, this is the finger of God, Pharaoh's heart was hard and he would not listen. On and on, we see that he is set in his place, and he knows what he knows, and it doesn't matter what's going on. He isn't paying attention. He doesn't care. Chapter 9, verse 7, Pharaoh investigated because God made a difference between Israel and between the Egyptians and their animals and all that, and he investigated and says, you know, that's right. Nothing happened to theirs. It's all happened to ours. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Pharaoh wasn't inclined to listen to God. He wasn't inclined to listen to Moses, anybody else, because of his pride. Because he knew what he knew. He knew what was, and because of all of that, pride was getting in the way. Because it didn't matter what God had done, it just, He just kept going. And you think what that does. Now, the thing is, we look at Pharaoh and go, man, I'll tell you what, you know how kings can be? But then we have to turn around and look in the mirror. Have you ever had a problem with pride? Have you ever bowed up if somebody told you that you need to do something? And knew that you knew better? Pride keeps us from feeling the pain of our guilt because we don't have to acknowledge it. We know what we know, and we know who we are. And we're doing all right. Pride keeps us from hearing the truth about ourselves. Maybe I'm a lot more like Pharaoh than what I might be willing to acknowledge. And when we get further along, we realize is I think part of that was that Pharaoh knew that he had everything under control. In his world, everything was under control. Now, part of that, we look at that and go, you know, he's got it under control. He says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. I will not let Israel go. I don't know who this God is. I've got my own gods who take care of everything. They've got it under control. It won't be any problem. Every part of life from beginning to end. So he trusts himself and what he knows. He trusts his gods. He trusts his people, the wise men and sorcerers, where they're able to do things as well, turn their staffs into snakes. And I'm like, where is this secret club where you can turn a staff into a snake? You know, not that I would want to. But you hear, he's like, no big deal. Nothing rattles him because he's got everything under control. And over again, we find the magicians doing the same things again and again. The magicians and his people making sure how everything ought to be. And we have to remember that for them, it's not just they have these people, but he also can know that in their lives, they've got these temples to gods that take care of everything for them. There's not a part of life that they didn't have a God who covers it. You're having a baby who's going to be born. You've got a God that talks about the beginning of life. He'll take care of that. A God that takes care of death. A God that is over the earth. A God that is over the heavens. A God that is over the underworld. A God that takes care of the weather. A God that takes care of the Nile. A God that takes care of the animals. A God that takes care of everything that goes on within the nation. They had a God that was there to provide for them whatever was. So if they had problems, they knew who to go to and make sacrifices to. They knew who to go to and offer their prayers. If something was going wrong, they knew they had somebody in their corner, and it was this God or that God or this God. Everything was put together. Everything was just right. Everything was under control. It's a good thing we don't have that problem, do we? How many times do we feel confident because we think we have everything under control? I know I've got what I need. I can handle it. Usually, I guess, my favorite God that is not our God tends to be me, where I'll put myself on the throne because I've got it under control, as opposed to letting God be God and trusting him. And when you think you've got everything under control, I'm not really inclined to learn because I already know. Don't teach me about that newfangled stuff. I'm doing good. So what is it that helps us get past a hard heart? Get past a heart that is not willing to hear or to learn or to change. A heart that is full of pride. A heart that thinks we've got it all under control. What is it that would wake us up? That question scares me. because if I've been sleeping through life, what is it that would it take to wake me up to hear what God wants me to hear, to become who God wants me to become? Now, there's something that God had in mind. Do you know God's goal through all this was not to turn the Nile into blood and to, oh, all the frogs and gnats and locusts and say, I'm going to get them out of order, the darkness and the hail and all these things going on. That wasn't his goal. His goal was, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. We get verse 17 of chapter 7. By this you will know that I am the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 10. So that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. Verse 22. So that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. Now that phrase is important because in the way they understood things back then was this nation had their own gods and their gods controlled their land. And you take a god over here in another land and they had no power here because this is their land, this is their land, and everybody stayed in their own places. And you, when you were somewhere else, you knew this is the God that had power here. And here God is saying, I am in this land. Where is it that God is not God? Verse 14 of chapter 9, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Chapter 10, verse 2, that you may know that I am the Lord. Now, all of those things over and over again, when he says those, is that, you know, he wants to give them this reminder that these gods you think have it all under control aren't controlling what you think. Now, this, even for Israel, he even tells Israel that you may know that I am the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 8, he says, he gives them this reminder. When you go and you're at the doing the Passover and you're remembering all this stuff, I want you to do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. In other words, they'd remember, God is God and he is the one that freed us. He is the one that saved us and brought us out of slavery and we got out of this land because God is God. And so over and over again, all these plagues weren't just to do things that would be hurtful, painful for them to want to, but to show them that their gods had no power at all. Turning the Nile into blood was just a central strike to the people of Egypt because that was life to them. And they knew that the God that took care of the Nile was central to them. And here, that God had no power. When you have the frogs come along, when you have the gnats, when you have the locusts, when you have the cattle and the livestock get afflicted, when you have the people become afflicted, when you have the hailstones and the fire, when you have the locusts. Now, didn't I get the locusts out of line? What was before? Oh, the flies. When you have the darkness for 3 days, and finally when you have the firstborn that dies in every home that's there, what it was is reminding them that every one of their gods, no matter, they didn't have any power at all to save them. They didn't have anything to do with what was going on, that God is God. And at the end of it, they would go that God is God. He is the one and only. He is the one that is here and provides all that. And that they needed to know and they needed to see who God was in everything. And what happens is now because their gods could not stop what God was doing, that they would come and awakened and see that above all that God is God. And so that they would listen to what God had to say. The lesson that Egypt and Israel need to learn is to know that God is over all. And the scary thing for me is what would it take for us to listen, to learn, to get us to know that God is God, to stop trusting our own gods. I don't want plagues. But sometimes it's the pain of things going in life that makes me wake up to think about what really matters. Sometimes it's the helplessness of what I thought would take care of my life not working anymore to get me to wake up to what matters. Where I don't trust anything but God. Now, when you read through all that goes on here, there's something interesting that happens. You get to watch people change. From chapter 6 all the way to chapter 13, there are some big changes going on. And we're used to Pharaoh going, nah, hard heart. He doesn't take it to heart. Even though the magicians are now telling him, this is God. And he doesn't listen. His heart is hard. We're used to hearing that aspect of things. But then you get to hear him negotiating. He says, okay, I'll let you go offer sacrifices in the wilderness, but don't go very far. You hear that little bit? I'm willing to give up a little bit, but I'm still in control. Later on he calls him. He says, I have sinned. Pharaoh said, I have sinned. The Lord is right, and I and my people are in the wrong. My goodness. You couldn't have heard this from Pharaoh when we get started there in chapter 6 and 7. Pharaoh would never have said this. We find him starting to admit, maybe I don't have this all figured out. And then, but now the thing is, he sins again right after this. It doesn't stick, but you see him starting to change. And we see this, I think, even with Israel. Moses. I was reading through these verses over and over again because Moses said, I don't talk good. Can you, you know, and God is like, you tell Aaron what to say, Aaron will tell Pharaoh. But as you read through, you start to see Moses says, and you're thinking, where's Aaron said? But maybe Moses said to Aaron, and then he tells Aaron to throw down his staff. He tells Aaron to do something here and do this. But then pretty soon you see Moses doing the things he had been telling Aaron to do. And it appears that Moses has started to change to where he at first was, I can't do that. I'm not much of a public speaker, to I'm going to stand up in front of this group of folks and I'm going to tell them what God is saying. He's got to change. In Israel, we find the people of Israel going, just leave us alone. We'll stay here as slaves. It's okay because it's too hard for us to get out of here. To where now they were willing and they packed up and they moved along. God had set them free and they're able to say, this is what God did for me. God did this. And I think that part of it is, it's not just saying, here's where I am, I don't know how to get there. It's to look back and go, let me tell you how I've changed so far. Because of what God has done. Because God's goal for each one of us isn't just that we would be sitting here together, but He's looking for us to change our hearts. He's looking for us to change our minds and change how we think. He's looking for us to change how we live our lives so that we are a different people, that His influence in our lives is seen in our actions and in our words and in our attitudes. And we'll all acknowledge, I'm not there yet, but I tell you what, God has made a big difference in me so far. Sometimes it's meant I've had to go through some hard times to go, I wish I'd learned that lesson before all of this. But we've learned those lessons. We've learned and we've grown and we've become more who God wants us to be. And there's more and more that we can do ahead of us. And that part of it is what God wants to see in us, that we would hear Him. We would hear Him and want so bad to become more the people He wants us to be. I think the challenge for us is how often we think we've already heard. You know what's fun? Older couples are fun. There was an older couple. Y'all may have heard about this couple before. The man had gone to the doctor, had expressed some concern about his wife when he was there for himself at the doctor, and said, you know, I think her hearing is really getting bad. And the doctor said, well, I tell you what you do. Kind of do a measure on it. Stand, you know, 15, 20 feet back from her and say, honey, can you hear me? She doesn't respond, get a little closer. Say, honey, can you hear me? She doesn't respond, get a little right up close to her, behind her, and say, honey, can you hear me? She says, that's a good plan. See how well he can hear me. He goes home, and he starts 15, 20 feet. Honey, can you hear me? She's at the sink washing dishes, so she's got her back to him. She doesn't turn around, doesn't say anything. He gets a little closer. Honey, can you hear me? No response. Gets up there right behind her and says, honey, can you hear me? She turns around and says, for the third time, yes, what do you want? How many times have we thought we already knew what God wanted of us and stopped hearing it and acknowledging we're the ones not able to listen, not able to hear? And God over and over again tells us, oh, I want you so bad. I want you to learn and to grow and to trust. Trust me in all things. Because making changes is hard. Making changes in who we are and how we live our lives can be a challenge for all of us. But it begins by being willing. It begins by hearing what God wants of us. And maybe this morning, you realize that maybe you haven't been listening as close as you need. Maybe this morning that you know that you need to change, but you need help to do that. And maybe this morning that you know you need to surrender your whole life to Him, to turn away from what you've been doing and give Him your whole life by being buried with Him in baptism. If you need anything this morning, would you come as we stand and sing?
Number 483, is it for me? Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore? And magnify and praise thee, and love thee evermore. Is it for me thy welcome, thy gracious enter in? For me thy come, ye blessed, for me so full of sin. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore, and magnify and praise thee, and love thee evermore? O Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at thy feet. I bless thee and I love thee, and thee I long to meet. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore, and magnify and praise thee, and love thee evermore? I'll be with thee forever, and never grieve thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore, and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? Number 139 be our closing song, In Heavenly Love Abiding. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever he may guide me, no one shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and he will walk with me.
Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, as we pause to close this service,